Is there any such thing as a truly eco holiday? Pamela Nowicka, author of The No-Nonsense Guide to Tourism, isn't convinced.
Looking for an eco holiday is almost like looking for a needle in a haystack, because really, eco is in the eye of the beholder. There are no specific guidelines about what constitutes an eco holiday. I think you have to ask your operator, whether it's big or small or medium-sized, what sort of contribution to the environment and the community your holiday is going to make. And basically, if you slap some sort of like lodge in the middle of a national park and then you go on nice walks around the national park, that actually is not an eco holiday. It's only eco if it's sustainable, if it genuinely and substantially benefits the local community and actually doesn't disturb the biodiversity there. And I think very few companies, big or small, can actually audit their holidays in any meaningful terms, particularly in terms of, say, third-party audits, in the same way that fair trade food producers are audited by third parties. You don't get the same thing happening with the holiday industry, and that's what we need now. We need third-party auditing to make sure that eco means eco, that green actually means something more than greenwash.
And how damaging can holidays and tourism be?
Basically, the whole tourism industry is about real estate, it's about transportation, it's about logistics, and it's about management. And if you think of it that your holiday is like the front-end gloss to those kind of industries, you know, real estate, transportation, etc., I think it's not rocket science to figure out that it can do a huge amount of damage. You know, pristine beaches, all the most beautiful places are taken away. Often the local people don't have access to them. There's problems with water supplies. You know, hotels get the water, but the local people in local villages don't get water. All sorts of pollution problems because of stuff like sewage, waste problems because in many countries, you know, there's no proper waste disposal. So huge problems, cultural, social. You know, I've had guides say, I feel like a beggar, you know, having to approach tourists all the time. And that's how many people feel. You'll get the happy smiling face from the person in the hospitality industry because that's their job. It's their job to smile. It's their job to say, oh, yes, I like tourists. But really, what's in their heart? They're not necessarily happy and they're not necessarily smiling in their heart.
Now, from the research that you've done, what examples have you found of somewhere where tourism has come along and has actually really obviously damaged that local environment?
Well, I've just come back from Mahabalipuram in South India. And that has changed hugely. I was previously there about 15 years ago, and it's gone from a small fishing village into something that now is completely dependent on tourism. And when I was there recently, I saw this road that leads up to one of the main monuments, which used to have beautiful, huge, old neem trees. Some of them are 60 years old. They made the place very shady and lovely. While I was there, all the trees were systematically smashed down by earth movers. Now, that was to make the road larger and wider so that tourist buses and coaches could have access to the monuments more easily. And that was a plan that had been going for 20 years and World Bank funded. This is a direct impact of tourism. But the tourists won't see it. How can they possibly see it? Because by the time the next batch of tourists is there, the road will be widened. They won't know that there used to be trees there. The only people that know there used to be trees there are the locals. And some of those locals were crying. You know, these beautiful old trees were just being smashed down to make way for a huge highway for maybe 250 metres long.
And how will that impact the locals as well?
A lot of the local sort of small businesses, which was stone carvings, were smashed out of the way because they'd encroached on some of the government land. And so they were just summarily sort of smashed down. So they're being moved to the outside of the town. And similarly, this 20-year-old plan is to effectively, it seems, the locals have said to me, move them out of the town so that these huge highways can lead directly to the monuments. And the tourists can have as much access as they want for the half an hour that they're actually in the town, and then they shoot off again. That is destroying the community. You know, that is destroying what used to be a small traditional community completely.
Does it also mean if they're moving them away from that main highway, that in fact they're moving them away from the opportunity to make money from the tourists?
Well, yes, I mean, that's another point as well. You know, it's very not joined up, you know, and sometimes it seems like the governments in some countries, that in one sense they're promoting tourism, but the sort of tourism they're promoting is to the larger businesses. Like in this same small town, there's been a huge new shopping complex built where if you have loads of money, you can buy a shop or you can rent a shop. If you're just a small artisan, you can't. So again, it's like it's so not joined up. Well, how are the local people going to benefit from the tourists? They're not.
That's Pamela Nowicka. Her book, The No-Nonsense Guide to Tourism, is published by The New Internationalist.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews
is online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.